CTV.
So here's Dale. He says, hey, I got this app on my phone where you can aim it. You know, obviously you're not seeing the exact stars, but it tells you shows you the position of every celestial body. And so we put this thing up there, and by God, there it was. There's the moon at Virgo's feet. There's the 12 stars around her head. There's the whole thing. And I'm freaking out because I'm thinking, John saw this before it even happened in time. He went into the future and saw it. And now, rewind, we're back going through time, and we're seeing the same thing. God, this is mind-blowing. And then I thought, John goes further, and he sees things that are happening after the snatching away. Follow me. John in Revelation is seeing things post-snatching away. Because we're snatched away before any of those terrible trials occur. Right? So John is breathing air where we exist glorified. You see, John, in other words, John was sent to Patmos to be taken to the third heaven to see one thing, and that is the end times, what will occur in the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. But if John had turned to the left, he would have seen us, the body of Christ, completed. I don't mean seeing a vision of us. I mean seeing us. Because he went into a time that it was post-snatching away. So he's breathing air where we exist, glorified. That is as sure to happen, just like Paul says there at the end. This I know is that this will happen because I've already seen it. It's happened. Paul went to the future just like Peter went to the future. And I believe, this is my speculation, that Paul was the opposite of John. He wasn't sent there to see or hear things having to do with the last 7 years called the tribulation of our time on this earth. He went there to see the body of Christ completed. It's almost like where you see yourself. What's that Back in Time movie that has many parts with the doctor and all the crazy? Back to the Future. You remember when he sees? You remember when McFly sees himself? Marty sees himself, and he gets a little weak. It's like he sees himself in the past or in the future. I can't remember which. But think of that. Paul, in a body or out of a body, he's not aware. He's looking at himself perfected before he's perfected. But he is perfected in his vision. It's a time marvel. But this is what the man went through. And apparently it was so incredible, that so mind-boggling. He says here, that he said that he knows what it was, but he can't hear it. He knows, he saw something, but forgot that the details were erased so that he couldn't. But the point is that one of our guys went there. That's scripture. But one of our guys went there. And you understand, it's not the third heaven like an elevator. Now passing heaven one, now passing heaven two, ding. Now in that's heaven three, ding, ding, ding. No, it's not in space. It's a third heaven in time. Remember I showed you those earths, right? There's the first earth, the second earth, and the third earth. This one was destroyed by the disruption, right? This one will be destroyed by, this one will end at the consummation, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. Each earth, as I said last night, has a corresponding heaven. First earth, first heaven. Adam comes into existence here, and the earth is remade by God. Second earth, second heaven. We're on the second earth. Third eon, second earth. This earth survives to the kingdom eon. Paul went here. This is eon 5 over here. Paul went not to the third earth, but he went to the third heaven. The snatching away is here. That's why Paul says here that he's aware that the snatching away is millennia in the past. Wrap your head around that. All we talk about is the snatching away. We want the snatching away. When's Christ going to come for us? When's this all going to be over? When? Like a kid looking forward to Christmas every day. Wrap your heads around this. The day is coming when we're going to talk about that event in the past. Past tense. For real. And where Paul's coming from, he says millennia in the past. He's aware that it's millennia in the past. You think your childhood is a dim memory. Parts of your childhood are a dim memory. Try to imagine a time When you being made immortal is a dim memory. We have this gorgeous life ahead of us. And God is so gracious to have sent one of us there already. It's better than prolepsis. Prolepsis is the figure of speech, calling what is not as though it were. You know, Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. You have? It's proleptic, Abraham, proleptic. It's not calling what is not as though it were. Oh, okay. But this is better than that. This is a guy going there and reporting what he can when he comes back. Yeah, that's wild stuff, man. If that doesn't help you get up in the morning, I don't know what.
fantastic piece that you brought up. First,
thanks.
What inspired that, Martin? I mean, was it...
What inspired it is because the farther I go in this truth, in this teaching, the more real it becomes to me. Every day becomes more real. In fact, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and she said, I don't know if I'm going to repeat exactly what I said. Yeah, I will. Because you guys will get it. You guys will get it. She said, that was amazing what you said last night. What you said about your being in total peace with your kids being whacked out, you know. How do you do it? What's the secret? And I said, well, you know all the things I've been teaching for 25 years? Yeah, she said. I said, I actually believe this shit. And do you know what happened then? She goes, oh. It's like it was a new thought to actually believe. To believe it. I think we can be tricked that way, to think that talking about it and studying it and writing about it is the same as believing it. It's not. Believing it, real things happen. We use this corny phrase, oh, this will change your life. But I'm telling you, real things happen. How can I not worry about my kids? Because I believe what God says about them, about their future. I believe when God says he's operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. I believe in what he says, God is love. I believe all those verses, and I put them all together. How could I not be at peace? The only way you have peace removed is if you don't believe in any of that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I still suffer. I still go through the drudgery of life. I still walk through. I still curse my circumstances every now and then. I mean, just that, all that stuff. But none of that stuff bothers me either. That's another secret I hope to give you. None of that stuff bothers me. I don't expect anything better of myself. It's the death throes of the old humanity that's already been crucified. It's the chicken running around the barnyard. I'm not worried about it at all. At all. And that's freedom. I'm still suffering. But I don't add upon the suffering a layer of suffering called suffering concerning your suffering. I'm suffering. Why? Because I'm worried that I suffer so much, you know? Or you've heard me say all the time, people say, I'm so worried. I say, well, don't worry about being worried, you know? And it's a thing you can compound. I tell people, just be worried. Leave it at one layer. Oh, you're worried. Okay, so what? So is everybody else. Just be worried. But they worry that I'm worried. What are you worried about? I'm worried that I might be too worried. Do you see what you're doing? You're worried about being worried. Next thing you know, you're going to worry about that. Oh, you tell me I shouldn't be worried about the fact that I worry. Yes, well, I'm worried whether I'll be able to do that or not. My God. You're building a Subway sandwich of worry. Just freaking worry. I'm not at peace. Just don't be at peace then. But I'm at peace with not being at peace. In fact, I wrote, I think I have a book. I think that book's in my computer somewhere too. How to be at peace with not being at peace. It's a secret, I'm telling you. But you have to believe this stuff. And there's a difference between talking about it and believing it. But it takes a child to believe it. It takes a child to believe the snatching away. You read this crazy passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17. People say, well, what's Paul trying to say there? What do you think he means? What do I think he means? That's the plainest words the man has ever used. I bitch about Paul all the time. He's so convoluted. Does he know what? He never went to punctuation school. He has these rambling thoughts, and he goes from here to there, from here to there. Finally, the man writes one coherent passage. And people go, wonder what Paul means. They know exactly what he means. It's too fantastic to believe. That's the problem. Because they're not childlike. Well, I don't understand how we rise. Jesus Christ. Well, if every member of the body of Christ, you know, are rise at different places, how are they going to meet? And I have to share this with you too, because I'm with an intimate group, so I can tell you things like this. And I had a friend one time who's not a believer. I liked her very much, though. And I remember we were eating lunch one time, I was talking about, you know, her faith and lack thereof. And she said, you know, there's something I just can't believe. The Bible's so fantastic. I said, well, name one thing you can't believe. The virgin birth. I said, you have a problem with that? Yes, I mean, it's just so fantastic that the Holy Spirit comes upon a woman and there's no man involved. I just see, it's too fantastic. I said, wait a minute. You want me to tell you what's fantastic? When a man gets around a woman, he has this organ in the middle of him that he gets excited when he sees her, and then it gets hard, and then he puts it inside of her, and it goes back and forth and back and forth, and then this white fluid comes out, and there's little fishies things swimming in there, and there's millions of them, and they all swim, 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 and they try to get into this egg that has somehow been produced from inside this woman, and one gets in, and the rest of them are killed because the egg emits a poison that gets rid of the rest of them, and then as soon as that sperm gets in there, these cells start dividing. That, you believe? That's almost impossible to believe. If somebody told me God breathed and you have a baby, that's easy to believe. I see, screwy, not thinking the right way. It's like, oh, that seems so outrageous. I'll tell you what's outrageous, you know. Gee whiz, man. So. It's all right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I saved that for Sunday. Save that for Sunday, the Lord's Day. Save that for the Lord's Day. Oh, yeah, well, okay. He says it's so outrageous you wouldn't want your kids seeing it. Well, we would hope not, but. What time is it? Noon? What time is it? 11:36. Well, great, we can end anytime we want. Who says we have to be? So I'm finished. Does anybody have any comments or questions about anything that happened? For once, your comments were really, really beautiful, Tracy. So sincere and real. I could just feel the appreciation oozing out of you. And I tell everybody who dares to say, let's have a conference, that you don't know what you're getting into. But, you know, I told you that that's suffering, and there is suffering involved. It counts. Paul says, you know, suffering for the evangel, right? Paul told Timothy, suffer evil with the evangel as an ideal soldier. And people think, oh, well, I can't suffer evil for the evangel unless I'm stoned or whipped or shipwrecked or spend a day and a night in a swamp. No, there's many ways. And in fact, I consider technology the evil that I have to contend with every day for 28 years to get this material to you. This is a foreign world to me, and I struggle, and most of my frustration and pain has come from how to get this material to you. That's suffering evil with the evangel. So is the hassles of making sure everybody has what they need, and this person needs something, you got to take care of that, then you run out of paper towels, then where's the coffee? And you're suffering evil for the evangel. That's the greatest thing you can suffer evil for, right? If you're going to suffer evil, make it count. Make it count. I always thought if Paul had a business card, somebody would ask Paul, what do you do for a living? He'd take his card out. Here's my card. Paul, on the back it says, suffers evil with the evangel. I used to joke about that with my wife, you know. The poor girl, you know. It's like, what does your husband do? Well, he suffers evil with the evangel. Suffers evil. I just tell him I'm a writer. That's what I am, a writer. He's a writer. Ooh, a writer. Then everybody gets all, that's all cool, man. Oh, you're a writer. What do you write about? Oh, God. Exactly. Oh, God, yeah, exactly. Why do, never mind. Why do people mention God's name so often in the throes of sexual ecstasy? Well, I'm wondering.
They are related.
They're related. I'm not kidding you at all. They're even atheists do that. That's curious. Very curious thing to me. Because the whole thing's a parable. It's something great. If you don't know about that, get my book, Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. It's the greatest book that I'm not sure anybody's ever read. I don't know. To me, there's so many revelations in there. It's mind-boggling. And I put this book out, and it's like, no. There's a couple people come up and say, man, that book. But if you haven't read it, I think it's over there. Is it, Kath? Yes. Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. So, anybody have any comments or? Well, yes.
Just a follow on question, Martin, and that is you mentioned Paul saying the body of Christ glorified.
Yeah.
I heard one person suggest on MCTV, but I don't think there was a response to it. And the person suggested, well, what was it possibly that plus just seeing everything, all creation, reconciled, you know, Colossians 1:20, writ large, that he saw even more than that?
Well, I don't think he saw that because, remember, he goes to the third heaven and the consummation has not occurred at that time. I mean, it's possible, but he's in the realm of the fifth eon, and we know the consummation happened after the aeonian time. You see what I mean?
Yeah, okay. So
when all, God's all in all.
Okay,
so I don't think he could have.
Prior to that.
Prior to that, yeah.
Okay.
That's my thoughts.
I think I'm going to leave. I got to catch up.
You got to leave. Okay.
Yep. The fact that.
I'm going to wrap things up anyway right now. So before you leave, I'm going to wrap it up. We're going to end early. So I thank one and all for coming here, for taking Lenny, you too, Len, from New York. It's so wonderful to see all these different people from all parts of the country and all walks of life just meshing together as members of the body of Christ. So I'm going to officially dismiss this great convocation. It's always sad to do that, but you're welcome to hang around here until noon or whatever. And as I said, I'm going to be here all day at the house. And I'm not here to sightsee again. I'm not here to have fun. So God bless you. Thank you all. And the videos will be available. I will let you know. I think I'm going to make the videos into an MZTV show. So you'll see it for sure. Thank you. And thank all of you at home. Thank you for filming all of this. Thank you. Oh, you don't want me to credit you for that. You don't know how it's going to turn out. It's going to be just as God intends it to turn out. Thank you. God bless you all.